You're listening to Tacker Voice Radio? I like it when they say fuck. You're listening to Tacker Voice Radio? I like it when they say fuck. Hey kids, Tom Baker here again. Do you like Tacker Voice Radio? Me too, especially that episode where they hacked the chameleon circuit on the Type 40 TARDIS. Oh, wait. That doesn't happen for another 12 years. Stay tuned, though. That's a spanker of an episode.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. On the 17th of April 2006, and it's a good day, like Sean Kennedy would say. What do we have in store for you tonight on this unexpected episode? So I just didn't feel too good. I sat down, and then obviously Dark Nature called me, and it's like, oh, okay. That's still a show. There's people in the IRC going, what? There's no show. What's going to happen? Oh, no, we're all going to die. But, yeah. It's not too bad.
No panic.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you? Apart from being dying of some malady.
Yeah, I've just got a runny nose. I'll try not to over-exaggerate the illness.
We don't want you keeling over or anything on the microphone.
No, it wouldn't be fun.
Well, no. Life, so, death.
Yeah. I guess it would boost the ratings.
Ironically, for the last show, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Hack of Us Radio would go on after my death.
Yeah, I'm sure it would.
He'd hoped so.
Yeah.
Ah, damn, it's, you know, so unprepared, so not ready for the show. I've just, you know, kind of had such a relaxing weekend, completely forgot about everything else and responsibilities and all that crap, and,
well, that's
and
nice.
I just kind of got round to waking up, going, oh, fuck. I've got to go to work tomorrow, and I've got to do all this crap, and back to, you know, the mundane life of the old slug and everything. But
I think I'm set up for quite an interesting day tomorrow at work. Some couple of meetings and a couple of air clearing sessions going on.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What kind of clearing sessions?
Oh. Staff related things.
Oh, right. What, people are getting fired?
No. Maybe people getting fired at.
Oh. Why, what kind of line of work do you work in? Where?
Education.
Oh.
It can be quite rough.
I thought you worked in a firing range.
No. No, it feels like it sometimes.
I wonder how much money I could get if I worked in a firing range. You could have, like, live target sessions. The more you run around, obviously, if you don't get shot, the more money you get.
Don't know. The temptation to try it, though.
Yeah, I guess, you know, good danger money.
Yeah. I don't know what the going rate is for being shot at nowadays.
I don't know. Let's see how much the army are earning.
Not as much as they should get, I don't think.
No. Well, it depends. It's, you know, you've got the fact that you could be in the army, but then you probably wouldn't actually get any work. You know, there's actually a chance of you not actually seeing action, but you're still getting paid. But on essence, the army money isn't actually too great.
Well, no. I mean, once you get up the ranks, yeah. I mean, those SAF guys get pretty well looked after.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, your general sort of foot soldiers, it's not a great wage.
Yeah. I'd love to just, like, work for the army, and like my job would be to like play Counter-Strike or something like that.
I had a friend that worked sort of in military intelligence for a while, and he did a lot of work in Northern Ireland. You know, it was pretty cool stuff. Some of the stuff that he, you know, told me about, lots of you know, arranging meetings with you know, the Sinn Féin's a lot, and you know, pretended to be just an average Joe.
Yeah.
Intelligence gathering. But he said most of his job was, you know, just like sitting in cars, packed outside pubs, and watching people.
That must be fun.
Yeah. It's not quite as it seems on, you know, like the TV shows, you know, like Spooks and that sort of stuff.
Could just, you know, be employed in the army just to play computer games. You know, so it gets, you know, you could have like, you know, like challenges, like the whole war side of things has changed to countries fighting against each other in, you know, like on servers, and like, you know, have like team matches, and I don't know, I guess
it'd be a good way to settle these international disputes, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And like, I guess it'd be always like, ah, oh, you cheated, you fucking hacksaw the game. Like, no, I did not. You know, like, China, you bastards, you know, blah, 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 blah.
You used a wall hack.
Yeah. And America just has like the God mode cheat. Like every single cheat they've got, you know, behind their backs, and they cover it so that like nobody else can accuse them of cheating. And yet they're like cheating all over the place because they actually own the servers and they could do whatever they want.
And bizarrely, like the world's most elite soldiers would be like really, really fat.
Yeah.
They'd never go out at all.
Yeah. And then, you know, you could just get kicked in balls, and you can't complain about it because it's America. I don't know. Well. Woohoo! That text just got through. Got really poop reception here where I live because it's on the ground. It's about 400 feet on the ground in a subterranean basement.
Ah. The secret lair.
Yeah.
Ah.
So it looks like Hyper is requesting for two new sections, social engineering and urban exploration. And it's something I considering introducing into our forums, and I probably will now that he has actually requested that to be placed up. I guess, you know, it's
The social engineering.
No, go ahead.
It seems that social engineering is becoming quite a popular talking piece on the forums of late, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
This could be social engineering me.
That's the. That's the quandary that we face.
Yeah. So, you don't know who Reverend Rat is, but one time he told me a story, which might not be true, but however, he said he socially engineered himself into a social engineering hacking group. Yeah. Yeah.
Outrageous. I'm just having a quick look through the IRC.
Yeah. What are they talking about? Technically, it's below our show there. Huh?
Well, there you go.
I don't get it.
Don't know.
No, don't know.
suppose it is. You've been here longer.
Sorry?
You've been here a lot longer, I suppose. So, yeah, it is. It's, and it's coming out of your secret Baha cave. So, there you go. Good old MacArthur for pointing that out.
I thought you were going to talk about the vulnerability that you were last on about last week. Oh, yeah, that he said something about some vulnerability or something like that. I guess if he wants to that username password is that username is gullible and password idiot. That's quite funny. I remember Planet Lave saying about that. It's the XP hack. Any you can get root admin rights in any XP machine by logging in as gullible and the password idiot.
All right.
Yeah, it's quite well known.
The one must have passed me by.
Yeah. You got to be leet to know these kind of things. You also got to be a real idiot.
Gullible idiot, indeed.
Yeah.
I found that generally getting people's passwords can be quite as easy as just asking them what their password is.
Yes. What's your password?
Ah, well. Now that would be telling.
Yeah. Ah, it's telling. Damn it. It's wrong.
Damn it.
You must.
So, I took my dad war driving today.
Right.
He was super impressed. He's, I've showed him once, you know, how Wi-Fi works in the past. And, he was asking me about something that he'd seen on TV, you know, and he says, you know, people can get onto your broadband and rub your internet and all that sort of stuff with your laptops. And how does that work then? I said, I'll show you something, Dad. You'll like this. And he was quite pleased with it.
Cool.
Yeah. I just took him for a drive around where he lives and then went around the local industrial estate.
Right.
And we just marking off open access points. We didn't do any, you know, we didn't actually compromise any systems because that would not be right.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, if I get a laptop, I could use someone's broadband and I won't have to buy like an access point and a Wi-Fi and all that. I said, well, you could, but it might not last and it's not really the way forward. You know, put it out that while you can do it, it's not always the best way to sort of impress your neighbours.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just smashing my keyboard.
Wow.
You ask why, but it's because, oh, for fuck's sake, stay. Stay, you stupid mouse.
Nearly get to the wall.
It's because my backslash, I mean not backslash, my backspace key is gone. I don't know, it's like I write something, try and delete it, and it doesn't want to delete, so I have to smash it like a bitch.
Is that?
It's very weird.
Very weird.
I think I've been deleting too many things.
So it looks like Mark wants to get on.
Yes. Well, he's on now.
Outstanding.
It is outstanding. Hello, Mark.
Hi there. Sorry, I forgot to actually turn off Real Player when I had Skype on. That was very strange for a moment.
Right.
But I'm here now. Yeah. I have no idea what you were in the middle of. It was probably very interesting.
Yeah, we were talking about how my backspace key is broken on my keyboard.
Well, that could be quite embarrassing, couldn't it? If in IRC you accidentally say, oh, that marker, he's a right idiot. Oh, no, I better not say that. Because he'll hacksaw my stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, my backspace key doesn't work. I'll just have to return instead.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me a few times. So I just I smash it down on the keyboard quite a lot, and it tends to work then. But I think it's because I don't have a desk, so the angle of attack on the keyboard has changed. And maybe it was just used to, like, having it on one angle of key press. But, yeah, it's
so if you don't have a desk, what do? You, like, levitate it using the telekinetic power of your mind?
Well, yes, but I'm quite tired now. And and that power has sadly drained away. So what I do is I use this fantastic feature that sitting people have is a lap, and I tend to rest my keyboard and my mouse on my lap, and hence why during the show you tend to hear a mouse smashing on the floor, because I've whacked it off my lap. But yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it's very ingenious. You could say it's even a hack. You know?
Hacktastic.
Yes.
The force is strong with this one.
Indeed.
The lap is warm on this one.
As long as you don't do like this, what that old chap did with his laptop.
What's that?
Oh, ages ago. You probably did a show about it. It's just that it was years ago and I didn't hear it.
I probably don't remember.
The bloke that burnt his cock.
What's that? On the laptop.
Like, just had his laptop there. I don't know, maybe this guy's, like, not got very much feeling in his member, but he's just there, you know, Pentium 5000, million megahertz. He's got the playing Counter-Strike. Next thing you know, he has to go to the doctor.
He singes his knob.
Indeed.
Well, that's weird, because we won't go into a biology lesson, but, like, frogs, if you basically put them in a beaker and turn the heat up, slowly the water would get to boiling point and they would die. And they wouldn't jump out, even though it's getting really, really hot. But if you had a frog in a beaker full of cold water and you poured in a hot kettle worth of water, it would just jump out straight away. So I guess the same kind of law must have applied on the penis, whereby it just got slowly, slowly hot over a long period of time and obviously burnt it. And I guess if it suddenly got hot, it would have jumped out of
the mat. You don't think this particular gentleman might have noticed at some point?
Well, he was probably really into his Counter-Strike and didn't want to disappoint the clan.
I don't think he was actually playing Counter-Strike. I made that bit up.
Oh, okay.
This guy's about 60 or something.
Well, if he was naked and 60, then you can guess what he was using his laptop for.
Webcam. Good old webcam. Yeah.
I've never known a laptop to get that hot where you can actually burn your chap.
No, I can't imagine it myself, but perhaps it's entirely untrue. It was actually a news story, I think, about a year ago.
Right.
But might have been totally made up.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Doesn't sound terribly plausible.
I doubt it. Certainly I've never heard of somebody burning their Willy on a laptop before.
They're Johnson.
Johnson, oh yes. Old John Thomas.
I wonder what it smelt like. Ooh, honey, are you cooking sausages again? No, my deck's on fire! So what do we have in the news that we missed out on the 14th of April 2006?
I don't know, I've just got it up now on my screen. Yeah.
Disbelief over dead women undiscovered for 2 years. Neighbours of a 40-year-old woman who lay dead in her flat, surrounded by unopened Christmas presents on the TV for over 2 years before being discovered, expressed their disbelief at the gruesome find on their doorstep. Joyce Vincent's skeleton was finally uncovered from their bedsit in Wood Green Town after the Housing Association came to the response in the flat. This is weird because it sounds terribly like something I watched in Well, Wood Green is in North London, so it couldn't be the count. It couldn't be Tower of London. But there was a woman called Joyce. I don't know her surname. Joyce Christmas. That's it. Joyce Christmas, who died in her flat. She was very old, and was later found about, like, I don't know, a week later or something like that. So just like she was just dead and all, like, not nice, as dead people are. Yeah. Not very, you know, fucking not a nice sight to see. Weird, you know. I guess, I don't know, maybe she was just, like, a real bitch and nobody really liked her, and that's why nobody came to her, ran to her in 2 years. I mean, I know if I fucking died, somebody would like, you know, see that I'm a wave, you know, on the internet, and then, like, send somebody around to make sure I'm okay.
Oh, yeah, it's, I don't believe that this is as uncommon as the news story would make out. The problem is nowadays is that old people are kind of
isolated,
forgotten. Well, they're kind of the forgotten generation, really. You know, it's they're almost brushed aside.
Yeah.
Due to their uncoolness. It's a shame. It's a shame for the old people. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of time for old people now that people can actually give to them, and yes, as you said, it's not terribly uncommon. It's not uncommon at all for this kind of thing to happen, especially with an aging population like we have in the UK. You know, we're basically supporting elderly people, and I guess when the generation above us gets old, then we're going to have a hell of a lot of people that are about to die, and that we have to support on our own back.
True.
Yeah.
I totally fear when our generation gets old, because I know that the generation that follows us,
yeah, are a bunch of cunts.
That's right. I mean, you're looking at Soylent Green for us lot.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There's definitely, if you look at the kids growing up now, they don't know fucking anything, man. Yeah.
Well, no.
No offense to all the kids in the RRC. I'm not directly targeting this assault at you. Just saying that there isn't a lot of sense or direction in the young population right now in the UK.
They seem to lack any, to a large extent, respect for either themselves or certainly for their elders.
Yeah.
It's certainly not, of course, like a total old man, but it's not like when I was young.
Are you doing an audition for being on Grumpy Old Men?
I could be.
You know what? The amount of times somebody said that to me, it's uncanny. I guess I could be classified as a grumpy old man.
You're not that grumpy, really.
Well, I could be more grumpy. I try and give off a cheery disposition when I do a radio show.
So yes, even if you're grumpy inside, you still have a cheery disposition just to fool everyone with a false sense of security.
Yeah, a bunch of cunts. Yeah. I'm kidding. Anyway, with another, let's follow this into another cheery news story. AOL is being charged with blocking an opponent's email address.
AOL.
American Online on Wednesday apparently began blocking email addresses on its servers containing the web addresses for a petition against the company's upcoming certified mail program. An issue the company called a glitch at the internet service provider was, which has roughly 20 million subscribers in the United States, began bouncing email communications with URL dearaol.com sometime late Wednesday and continued through Thursday. Now, I guess that's quite a lot of email. That just shows what a bunch of fucking idiots they are.
Yeah, but I think this is this is just a special case of AOL's general email policy, which is that they've got this so-called spam filter, which basically picks out any email that they don't like, judged by some rules which are unpublished, highly secret to AOL, and they even actually have an official document which explains a little bit about this, which is for people who run their own mail servers. And basically the bottom line is, anything that looks a bit iffy, they don't mark it as spam, they don't put it into the user's spam folder, they actually bounce it, they reject it, or they bin it. And this means the end user has no control over this. So when you've got most ISPs, if they've got a spam filter, the spam goes into your spam folder, or it goes into your... it gets a spam header put onto it so that you can put it into your spam folder easily or automatically or whatever you want.
Sure.
But not AOL. They're essentially saying, we are the law, and we're going to make the rules as to what... Because our customers are too stupid to figure it out for themselves. Now, they might be onto something there.
Well, they use AOL, so...
Yeah, exactly. They may be onto something, but it's still blatantly to all AOL users. If you want any email from anyone of any interest, get a Gmail account, get a Hotmail account.
Yeah. Well, not a Hotmail account. Please don't get a Hotmail account.
No?
No, fucking Hotmail account.
Does Hotmail do something similar?
No, well, they don't do something similar as far as I'm aware, but don't get a Hotmail account for the pure fact that it's a bit like, you know, like having sex with your sister. It's not a nice place to go, because they do openly encourage spam, and it's something that tends to open up an entire world of barrage of targeted spam by the amount of cookies that you get from specific sources. Like, let's say you went into to Spain, you would get Spanish spam in your Hotmail inbox and so on. But then again, everybody has Hotmail, so, you know. I got Hotmail when, like, Hotmail was still cool, if you know what I mean. I got Hotmail when Hotmail wasn't owned by Microsoft, so, you know.
I don't have a Hotmail account. Hooray!
Well, I have it because I set it up because I needed a quick... this was, like, ages ago. As I said, when Hotmail wasn't owned by Microsoft, so I signed up and you did the old Hotmail login thing, and that was even before it was even a passport. Like, you know, they have that kind of stupid passport thing now. Which is weird. And then obviously it was sold out to Microsoft, and Microsoft brought in MSN, Messenger, and all that crap. So
I also read, I don't know how true it is, but I believe it's a bit true, that something very evil that Microsoft do is claim intellectual property rights on the content of emails that pass through their through their servers.
Right.
Whereby if you're a developer and you're working on, say you and I were working on a project, and I email you my latest work via Hotmail.
Yeah.
And it looks a bit tasty to Microsoft.
Right.
They can say, well, it's ours. Because you're using our equipment, and we decide to have it.
No, surely that's ridiculous. I mean, copyright is about who created something. If you left a floppy disk in a cyber cafe with your source code of your most fantastic application on that was just going to blow everybody away, could the cyber cafe owner go, ha-ha, it's mine now? I don't think so.
Well, they could if you couldn't prove that you created it.
Yeah, well, okay. If the Cybercraft owner said, oh, I created it, it's mine, and you could not reasonably show that you had created it, fair play. But just because you happen to have a copy of it doesn't automatically mean that it's yours. I mean, I've seen a copy of the source code for Windows NT. Does that mean it's automatically mine? No, Microsoft wrote it. They can keep it. Thanks.
Yeah.
No, this is true. However, I can't remember the wording of the of what I read.
Right.
But it sounds consistent. From what I can remember of it, it did sound a bit fucked, but not unlike something I could imagine Microsoft actually pulling off. If you know what I mean.
Well, I mean, they can't change the law. They might be Microsoft. They might try and change the law, especially in Europe. Succeed in America. But
if I think they get around things by saying that in the terms of agreement that you have to, you know, basically agree to use their service, that any content that passes through their servers
belongs to them.
But that's not true. I mean, if you look at that, they can't put that in their terms of agreement because it contradicts law in those countries anyway. So obviously it depends. If you're in Bongo Bongo land, which doesn't have proper IP laws, maybe Microsoft can legally do that. Perhaps the law system in Bongo Bongo land is either Bongo busy Bongo with other things. Yes, that's a hypothetical country. The Narnia legal system.
Narnia. I wonder what the IP laws in Narnia are like.
But respect Aslan, man.
Yeah, maybe that I'm all getting it all backwards, but like I say, it's something that I read a bit ago, and I can't remember word for word, but
it doesn't sound terribly plausible. I thought the guy that burned his cock on laptop was more plausible.
Yeah, okay. Like I say, I might be completely, ass backwards on this one.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah, no.
I don't think too much of the fact that they could steal. I mean, they could potentially steal what it is, but I don't think that they could say, oh, it's passed through our servers, now it's ours.
But, no, if they steal it, it's still stealing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether Microsoft steal it, or your ISP steal it, or Napster turns up with his beige box and leeches it off your POTS phone line.
Yeah.
You know, whoever, they've still, like, if Microsoft stole it, it would still be just as illegal as if Napster was sitting there with a linesman's handset going, yay!
I couldn't do that because I'm too late. I run all my phone lines over 6,000 volts. So if he tried to connect it, it would, like, blow his head off.
I think the law might have something to say about you in that particular case.
Well, tell me about it, the amount of money I have to spend on, like, cables.
What about liability insurance?
to the poor BT engineer who doesn't know that I'm running 6,000 volts through my pairs.
Yep. Don't want to running 6,000 volts through your pairs or any other fruits.
No. They might get a bit hot.
Maybe that's anyway, to his laptop.
This AOL business, it's just business as usual for AOL. AOL block any mail for any real reason they feel like it, and they don't have to publish it.
Yeah.
And this one just happens to have been spotted by somebody.
I guess it depends. Like, you know, if you belong to a company or a multinational or something like that. There is a law whereby everything that you do, not as in a law, but something you sign up to, which I'm quite aware, is that everything that you do electronically, belongs to the company automatically. Like, they claim the ownership, which is weird and fucked up, but actually true. So that, let's say you were working on a project which you were doing for whatever, I don't know, let's say you were trying to get, you know, NTFS to talk to extended whatever 3, and you successfully managed to do it, and in no part was related to your job. The company could claim rights in that purely because you used their keyboard and mouse and workstation to do it, and because you're employed by them.
Yeah, but I think it's a little bit different. You think about it, you're actually working for a company, you're being paid to develop something else.
Yeah.
So if you develop something outside of that,
yeah,
then the normal practice is do you just get your employer to sign something to say that they will not try and claim IP rights over it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you come to some sort of agreement with your boss.
Not to get fired.
This thing, yeah, not to get fired if you do it in company time occasionally. But this business about Microsoft, you're not working for Microsoft, they're not working for you. It's this mutually beneficial sort of agreement of they give you a Hotmail.com service and simultaneously they blast you with targeted ads, which people pay them for.
Hmm.
Yeah? Everybody's a winner, well, in theory, anyway.
Yeah. But, sorry, go ahead.
So it's not, you're not wasting Microsoft's time by sending source code via their email service.
Yeah, I get, you know, they might have the right to do certain things to your emails, but I don't think they have the right to just steal everything that you've gone through and just take it. Oh, fine, that passed through our service. That looks quite interesting. Yeah, I'll take that.
No, they can't do that because someone else has copyright on it.
Yeah.
And they certainly can't pass it off as their own, and they probably, strictly speaking, should not copy it, although they've probably got something in their wording that says that they can keep it for their own use for as long as they want.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I'm sure they couldn't own it word for word and say, you know, like replicate the code. But I think that... Say I develop a new game in, I don't know, Visual Basic, top of my head.
Yeah.
And it's all good stuff.
Mm.
I think that they could use the concept and bring and using Microsoft's greater resources, bring it to market before me, and therefore say, well, it's ours. Because look, we made it first, and then if I was to bring it to market, it would be passed off as well. It'd be a copy.
Well, it's very difficult to do that because basically you can't really copyright a concept or an idea, an abstract thing like that. Much as Microsoft would love that to be able to be copyrighted, it certainly can't be. It's somewhat in dispute in the EU, and I don't know what the situation is, because there's like probably a patent for everything that has ever likely to be invented, even though the people who filed the patents had no idea that thing was likely to become anything, and they never made any implementation of it either.
Oh, that certainly goes on. People patenting the idea that you might be able to do something. And, I mean, people have patented parts of the human genome, so, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, this business of patents with IBM, Microsoft, and Sun, and Oracle, and the like, basically, how they've got a sort of gentleman's agreement that says, we know that you're violating so many of our patents, and you're violating so many of ours, that we'll simply agree not to sue each other, and then we can keep our huge stacks of patents, and we can keep our lawyers doing something else. And it means that when there's a small company who's doing something that Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, Sun, and such like don't like, then they simply throw a like supercarriers worth of patents at them, which the small company cannot afford to defend themselves against, even if all of the patent claims are completely false. Yeah? They simply can't afford the legal costs, so they have to settle, which means usually that they get bought.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. Okay, that's true. Like I say, I wouldn't, you know, swear on a stack of Bibles on it, you know, being authentic, but it's something that I read a while back. And, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't know. You can imagine whose job it is at Microsoft to monitor every mail that goes through Hotmail.com in case it contains something that might be interesting to Microsoft. It's not going to happen, is it?
No, no. But then you can get software to check for certain things.
Yeah, but even so, you can't. There's no software that will tell you whether something's interesting or not. It might tell you if it's about specific topics that you might judge to be interesting, but it won't then tell you whether it's actually interesting in itself. You'll still have to have a human on the end of it.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
And the amount, the volume of email makes that relatively impractical. Just like this business, this hypothetical system that MI5 has, listening to this phone call. So if I say the words like uranium and terrorism in the same sentence, then immediately there's going to be like a whole bunch of Belial, what's the name of that new agency?
Soccer, something like that, yeah.
There's going to be a whole load of Thundercats come in, beat my door down and carry me away screaming.
Thundercats.
Fighting organised and serious crime and terrorism and stuff like that. No.
No, you've done it there, man. You've said uranium and terrorism in the same sentence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Echelon is a real thing. And certainly.
And so's Father Christmas. And the East Bunny.
Yeah. No, Echelon is a real thing. And it's generally not concerned with keeping an eye on you and I, because you and I are.
Idiots.
We've not really done anything to bring ourselves to their attention, but the commonly held myth that basically all voice and data communications are not regularly intercepted, but regularly interceptable, is not as great a myth as you might think.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, but I think it's the same problem with Microsoft and their Hotmail thing. Like, they're looking for something equally as non-specific as, say, MI5 are. MI5 are trying to, you know, detect spies.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft are looking for things that are interesting that they can patent or develop before anybody else can.
Mm.
I would say that they're both fairly non-concrete items, and just because someone says the words uranium and terrorism in the same sentence,
yeah,
doesn't actually make them a potential international terrorist.
Sure.
And I'm sure the majority of the people who say them actually just do it to find out what will happen if they do.
Generally nothing will happen. It's,
no, I'm sure
yeah.
I mean, I know this is going to go up on MP3. They can download it and listen to it.
Yeah. I'm sure they do.
I hope they enjoy it.
Yes.
It's also a matter of context as well. You can mention a bunch of words that will trigger certain events.
Mm.
But ultimately, it's only a software monitoring service, as you say. So if I'm talking to you on my standard PSTN telephone, mm-hmm. and I say bomb, plane, gun, you know, etc., etc.,
lesbians
and the A-team, then you just say the ones you're generally not going to, you know, nothing's going to happen. But I'm pretty reliably informed that if these things happen, you know, frequently, then you will be switched to a human operative that will be then checking for context.
Sorry, I just saw that picture that Radical Edward put up. Oh god, check it out, it's fucking hilarious. In IRC.
Have a look.
I'm gonna have to use that as the front page now.
Who's that then?
I don't know, it's not me.
No, I know it's not you.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Who?
Dark Nature.
What, fucking the monitor?
I can't.
That looks nothing like Dark Nature.
I'm just waiting for it to warm up.
That's awesome.
Let's have a. Oh, sadly, my browser doesn't want me to see it.
Oh.
Well, you've been blocked by the automatic. Oh. You're not on AOL, are you?
No. No. Let's try again. Oh, there we go. Oh, my good heavens. Oh, my word. That's lovely, isn't it?
It's excellent.
I love it when they say fuck. How very dare you?
How very dare you? Me, do you know, dear?
The other night, I just couldn't sleep thinking about that. It was one of the funniest things I've heard in such a long time.
Yeah.
How very dare you?
Me, gay, dear? No, you, no, dear.
I've still never seen it.
Oh, God, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, you're right.
I took it with my digital camera. Awesome.
So what else do we have on the news today? Blue is the new colour for police cells.
Is it? Oh yeah, they're changing the colour of police cells to make them look more calming.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's they tried something similar in the United States where they painted all the police cells pink, hoping that would have the same effect.
Yeah.
Results were inconclusive, really. I saw it on a documentary, and they had some violent prisoner. They put him in a conventional prison cell.
Yeah.
And had him lift a barbell weight above his head.
Yeah.
And then they put him in a pink prison cell and with the same barbell, and he couldn't lift it above his knees. And it looked sorely contrived.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, if you want to paint those cells blue, that's good for them. I like blue.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how... I don't know, man. It just sounds like a fucking... Like one of those things where they have to spend money.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh...
I would paint... very small checks all over the wall, you know, like very small checkerboard effects all over the walls and the floor. Wow. And fit a strobe light.
Ali!
Hello! Oh my goodness, I've just been in your garden, it's gorgeous!
Thank you. Look, I don't believe you've met Yvonne.
No, hello, I'm Ali. Hi. Oh, you've got something on your face there. Oh, just give it a rub off. Yeah, is that right? No, I think it's a hair or something.
Catherine Tate show.
Right.
it's hatched. It doesn't. No, I mean, you can't see it. I can see it, but then I know it's there. I mean, he didn't see it. He doesn't know it's there. Oh, Christ, there's more. Don't pluck them. Two will grow in one.
Yeah, just trying to find a clip of that guy.
All right.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I think he's called Darren something, and his gay friend is called something Mincing. Leonard Mincing and Darren something. Oh, God, it's fucking hilarious. You know what we're talking about, Mark.
No clue.
Catherine Tate? No?
No.
Ah. Don't watch much TV, do
you? I watch a bit of TV. I'm selective, shall we say.
It's a shame, cause it's fucking hilarious. Fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah, like I say, the only thing that I've seen from the Catherine Tate show is the swearing grandma.
Yeah.
And she is funny.
Yeah. Fucking liberty.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the episode with Charlotte Church,
right.
And I thought my lungs were going to collapse or something. I just couldn't control myself. It was the funniest thing I've seen for such a long time. Oh, you're such a nice girl, voice of an angel. Look at her, she looks like a fucking slag. Can't look if she's a camera.
Fucking hilarious, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what's this? From FAC. Armed gang steals boys' Easter eggs. A gun was fired, and a 12-year-old boy was held hostage during a home invasion in Sydney's southwest early yesterday morning. That would be actually yesterday, indeed. Wow. A couple and the woman's son were asleep when five armed men with knives and a shotgun burst into the front door at 1:30 a.m. The boy watched, and his mother had a knife held to her throat, and her partner was threatened at gunpoint in the main bedroom. One of the intruders fired a shot into a chair in the lounge room. I honestly thought they were going to kill us. I gave them $510 I'd saved up. And my son's Easter eggs. And the story ends at that point, which is a bit of a letdown.
So they just wanted the Easter eggs?
It seems.
Well, what the fuck has the world come to when you got armed robbers going after Easter eggs? I guess they must have just been really hungry.
Serious diabetes, yeah. Or something. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Quick, give me sugar.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they didn't, hold the Easter Bunny hostage.
If he gets caught, then we're all fucked.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up to the end of the show, is all.
Yeah, this has been quite a chilled out.
It's been a very, very chilled out episode. Gotta round it off to the end. Hopefully, we'll see Planet Lave tomorrow. I'm gonna do that thing I said for you, Dark Ninja, later on.
Alright.
I think that's about it.
Okay. We'll call it a wrap.
We will. So it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Tom Baker demands that you send your feedback to radio@hackervoice.co.uk.
Hey, yo, dog. Was that you that did that shit, you know what I'm saying? You know that shit up on 16th and Mission, was that you?
It was me, it was me, it was me. It was me, it was me, it was me. Yes, I'm guilty, I cut his fucking throat to set the men free and let the women and the children go. I cannot lie, it was me who cut the rope of my sister as she dangled with no hope. It was me who robbed the man of his herbs and his vitamins. It was me who took a stand. I smashed your pipe dream, I crashed your party. I woke up from your daydream. I told you, man, don't start me. I'm slim and I'm young, but things are not always what they seem. It was me who killed those dirty rats filled with greed, and better yet, red. You know what I gave those rich dogs for me? It was me. I'll take the first baton blow. It was my blood that first hit the fucking blow. It was me who bit off your big toe. Hey, dog, you wouldn't let the people go. It was me, it was me, it was me. It was me, it was me, it was me. Like you lied to me about Washington and his cherry tree. It's time to run, fight or cry. I got a plate of shit and I wanted apple pie. It was me who changed the game, who said fuck gangsters and bling bling. I divide the world into two sides, religion and sexuality aside. Two tribes, you either change some shit or you die. I call to the youth, where the fuck are you? It was me who had the balls to tell you, let's be the last one standing, the upswimming salmon, the ants who did the planning, while the grasshopper plays, betrays for a taste of the bee's honey. It was me who bit the hand of the keeper. I made shallow deeper, truth seeker, my words make you weaker. I'm like that weed that's creeper. It was me who looked when I wasn't, because I was always a peeker. I was always a peeker. It was me, it was me, it was me. It was me, it was me, it was me. It was I cannot lie. You opened the cage for all your rage. I read the forbidden page, I stabbed in the back the mage. I drank of the flagon, I stole the hordes back and slayed the dragon. For the little girls I fight, I stopped the evil daddies who sneak in at night. I wait in the closet and let these sick motherfuckers hide it. Like that trick, John Wayne Bobbitt. It was me, it was me, fought for women. It was me who never stopped swimming. Fuck this if this is living. It was me who never stopped giving, who never had limits. It was me, it was me. It's time you listen, I feel you, but we don't have a better system. Like a jigsaw, you're the piece that's missing. It was me, it was me. It was me, it was me, it was me, it was me, it was me. It was me.